You are listening to Soul Shine, Michael Franti, his latest CD, Stay Human, Michael Franti and Spearhead. And they're touring around. He's headed to Philadelphia today. I saw him the other night at the Wetlands, a grassroots musical and political venue in New York City. Michael Franti with us live in the studio, as is Amy Ray. And Amy has put out her first Stag album, and it's called that. Yeah. Her first solo album, it's called Stag. And she is one of the Indigo Girls. You two toured together in the last year. What is that like, putting together your issues? You've been focusing a lot on sexuality and sexual identity, Amy.
Yeah, I mean, we toured, Indigo Girls and Spearhead toured together, actually. I mean, on Stag, I definitely focus a lot on gender identity, and as well as a lot of other activism. But I think that that grows out of a lifetime of experience of trying to figure out, you know, where I come from. And I think the interesting thing about our combination, obviously, is that Emily and I have a very strong gay identity and a very strong activist identity, and Spearhead has a very strong activist identity, but probably without the gay identity, although historically Michael's known for defending us, the gay rights of people. And but I think that, you know, we try, I think the one that's been the hardest barrier for us to break, you know, in Atlanta, the music community is very segregated, and there's not a lot of effort made to merge. I think there's some effort, but I just wouldn't say a lot. And I think it's very hard. And I was on part of Lilith Fair, where that was an issue with Lilith Fair constantly of how to tackle that issue. And I
explain
think,
Lilith Fair.
Lilith was, you know, the tour, more mainstream tour of women in music. And oftentimes the act, the black act, the urban hip hop soul R&B act, whichever class it fit in at the time, would have to go first, you know, and for a combination of reasons. And I think it's very complex. It's like, how do you advertise the show? How is it accessible to people? Why is the demographic white? Instead of, if you're going to have these acts, you really have to reach out to those communities that historically support them, so that your audience can become a blend of people and can cross-pollinate, it can break down the barriers. And I think Emily and I, out of that experience, we saw this as being like, we really need to tour with some black artists, you know, Hispanic artists, you know, just start to try to work. And Suffragettes did that, the Suffragette Sessions Tour. We really worked a lot of that, and we had a Spanish-speaking artist who toured with us who played in Spanish, and we had a black artist who was, you know, renowned, a black bass player, Galen Dorsey, and vocalist.
And this was going to high schools?
No, this was actually, we did the high school tour too, but this was actually just clubs. But the thing about Spearhead was that we have an activist bond, you know, we're trying to achieve that idea of grassroots activism and community support and revolution and art and the importance of having your voice heard. And Spearhead's the same way. It was a perfect combination as far as I was concerned. But I think, you know, Michael, I mean, I'll let you speak for yourself what your experience was coming out in front of us and our audience being pretty white, you know. I mean, even if it is very diverse in some ways, I think it's still pretty white as far as in Michael's eyes.
Michael,
well,
Franti.
I mean, I just found the audience that you guys have put, you know, together over the years is one that was just really open to new music and new ideas, you know. So it was really, I mean, we'd go out on the stage and most times, you know, most of the people hadn't seen or heard of us before, but, you know, by the time we started playing and they listened to us and they listened to what we had to say, they were open and receptive to it. And I think that's a testimony to what the Indigo Girls have accomplished over the years, is that they've built up a loyal fan base of people who aren't just Indigo Girls fans, but they're music lovers, period, and they're open to experiencing new things. And I think that's something to be, that's really something to be proud of.
You also went together to Cuba.
Yeah. Yeah.
Music Bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really exciting.
Why were you there?
Well, that was a case of kind of the opposite thing. One day I said, Amy and Emily, you should come down. We're going to go down to the hood in Havana, you know, take these two little white girls down to where there were very few little white girls and have them hook up with some ancient drummers, you know, Pancho Quinto, and players that were, you know, Cuban rumba drummers who were just on a whole nother level. And we all jammed, you know, we all went down there and shared our music together, and just the whole experience of going there. And we met Fidel at the end of our trip there, and but I think it was the most enlightening thing was to just be collaborating with Cuban musicians and seeing how all these, you know, different American musicians and European musicians, how some people were really able to let go and be there in the spirit of collaboration, how others were still really had a hard time and they were trying to cling to their, what they knew about music, you know. And it was a great experience.
I wanted to go to a piece of yours, Amy, that you did, Indigo Girls did, about someone that our listening audience, I think, in New York and also around the country, came to know or at least hear about her death with two other activists in Colombia several years ago. And we did a number of specials at the time that these three activists who went down to Colombia were murdered.
Yeah, I was friends with Ingrid Washinawatak, Elisa, and she was part of a board called Honor the Earth, which is a group me and Emily started with Indian activists to support indigenous rights in all of the Americas. And she was on the board and a very big help to us and a mentor to me. And she was kidnapped by the FARC. And our government was very, I would say, very irresponsible at the time when she was being held hostage and in the middle of dealings with arms and money and very much in a way that would target any American that was down there. And she, you know, in their eyes, she wasn't considered, you know, to her kidnappers, an indigenous person, you know, on their side. She was looked at as being, she's an American, you know, and we're going to show the Americans. And I think it's very complex, and it shows you how complex it is. Because when she first got taken hostage, honestly, I was like, well, it's the FARC. They'll see her as a, you know, a sister in arms, or, you know, she's fighting the good fight, you know. And I was very idealistic about it and naive. And they did end up killing her. And it's a very complex situation because there's not a lot of organization sometimes, and it just shows you how chaotic it gets, and it shows you that our government is constantly mishandling things down there, and I think helping to create the chaos and add to it. And I wrote a song for her called On Your Honor that just to say, you know, keep on kicking butt, all these activists out there, just keep on doing it, and here it is.